Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis 1. And as your notes suggest, this is the lesson, the fourth in the series, about God being our Creator. And where else would we turn, first of all, then to the beginning, where we learn this very thing in chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is a foundational statement, isn't it? Fundamental. I'll tell you what I've got written on the top of the page there in my Bible. Some of you might want to jot this verse down. You won't have time to write the verse down, but you can, as I have done, if you want to do that. I thought this was an appropriate verse to put at the front of this Bible. It's taken from Psalm 119 and verse 73. I'll give you the reference one more time. Psalm 119, verse 73. And here's what it says. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So I think that's a good place to have that verse because, as the verse suggests, God has made us. He has fashioned us. And since He is our Creator and He's made us, does it not make sense that we would want to know and need to know and heed what He tells us? It would. That would make every bit of sense, wouldn't it? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Psalm 119:73. Well, look in your notes here. Biblical doctrine is the study of what the Bible teaches about God and other important truths. This lesson covers biblical truth about God as the Creator of all things. The main truth is that God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He is Creator of all created things in both the physical and spiritual worlds. Did you notice when Ian read one of our memory verses? I'm going to flip over here and read that one more time because I won't quote it accurately from memory. So I'll just read it because I don't want to mangle it. It's too precious. But over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it points out this fact that God is Creator of both the material or physical world, that is what we can see, the tangible, the things physical in the universe, and then the unseen spiritual world. He's a Creator of all of it. And the unseen spiritual world is just as real as the world we can see and feel and so forth. Here it is. For by Him, this is Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, verse 17, He is before all things, that is, He predates all things. He was here before anything else. And by Him, all things consist. And that word consist means hold together, stay together. As Dr. Rogers, Adrian Rogers, Ian, you love him, I love him. He used to say this, God is the glue of the galaxies. He's the glue of the galaxies. He's the one that holds it all together. If it weren't for Him, it'd all fly apart. But it doesn't. He is the power. And it says there in Hebrews 1, I believe it's verse 1, that Christ upholds all things by the word of His power. That's the same truth, just stated a little differently. So the main truth is He's Creator of all things. Look at this next little paragraph. God's the Creator of all things. Nothing existed before Him. He spoke everything into existence by the word of His power. And as Hebrews 1:1 says, it all is upheld by the word of His power. And he gave everything in creation its function and purpose. So he didn't just create to be creating. He had a purpose for it. And the primary purpose, the overriding purpose, is to bring him pleasure. Let's just hold our finger there and let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Because we're not going to have time to cover but only so many verses. And this one is a must. Revelation 4. Verse 11. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's plain language, isn't it? That's clear. So it wasn't created for our sake, it was created for His sake. Even we were created for His sake, for His pleasure. It's a great reminder. And Ecclesiastes 12:1 is the verse I mentioned before. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And the reason we should remember our Creator is so that we will do just what the Scripture said there, that we will remember to bring Him pleasure. That's why He gave us life and brought us into this world. What a reminder. What a reminder. Now, looking back to that note, He formed the earth on the first 3 days and filled it on the next 3 days. You see down at the bottom of page 37, that first page of notes, that's part of our outline. A, do you see it down there? God formed creation in days 1 through 3 of creation week. And then God filled creation in days 4 through 6 of creation week. Now, that may not make much sense, so take your notes there and turn to page 48. Bottom of 47. Over in the top of 48. It starts down at the bottom of 47. This is the breakdown. Down at the bottom of page 47, you have this note. We see that God first created the environment and then the creatures to live in that environment. So it was in creation, days 1 through 3, God formed the environment, so to speak. Formed the place for what else He created. And then He filled it on days 4, 5, and 6. So on day 1, you have light and dark and the separation of those two. And in day 4, you have the lights of the day and the night. The sun, that's called in the King James, it reads, the greater light for the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light for the night, that's the moon. And then it says in chapter 1 of Genesis and verse 16, He made the stars also. Don't you just love the way that's stated in a creation account? It's like no big deal. He made the stars also. Almost like a footnote. For God, that was no problem. And yet there's billions upon billions and billions and billions of stars. Countless numbers of stars. So you have the light and dark, and then the lights of the day and of the night. In day 2, He created the sky and the seas. And then on day 5, the birds and the fish to fill the sky and the seas. And then on day 3 was the dry land, and day 6 were the land animals and humans. So everything had a purpose. The environment and those creatures that would fill it. Formed and filled. Somebody wrote a book, I think, with that title about creation. And that's a good title. That's the way it took place in that order. And God is a God of order. We're not going to have time to get to that probably, most likely, but it's in the notes on in here. There's quite a few notes about creation and so on. At the end of the 6 days, God was satisfied with everything He created because He pronounced it very good. Very good. He pronounced on each day, you'll recall, if you read all of Genesis 1, He said it was good, it was good, it was good. And at the end of the sixth day of creation week, he said it was very good. And so it was, and so it is. Even though we're living in a fallen world, it's still very good because he's the creator. And so he formed and gave purpose to all things. And God alone is worthy of all worship and devotion. The sovereign Lord ordered all of creation so that it would reflect his perfect character and bring him glory, as we saw in Revelation 4:11. Creation was the work of the Trinity. You find verses that bear that out. The Father was involved in planning. Christ was involved as what is often referred to as the agent of creation. There in Colossians 1:16, by him were all things created. The him there is Christ. And then we know that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so it was the work of all three. And as someone has pointed out, and it's so true, you think about this, there's no work that God is involved in but what does not involve all three of the Trinity. Our salvation involves all three, right? Our salvation. God planned it. Christ purchased it with his blood and his sacrifice. The Holy Spirit applies it. So the Trinity is involved in that as well as creation. Let's read that paragraph underneath number one. God existed eternally and has no beginning, but the universe had a beginning. There's a false teaching, and I don't know who still believes this, but I'm sure it is still believed, and probably by many, many people, that the universe is eternal. It's always been. But that's not true. Only God is eternal. All things, all creations, all parts of creation are creatures. Had a beginning. Before God created the universe, nothing existed but God. As the Trinity, God was in perfect harmony and sufficiency within himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God did not create because he was lonely, bored, or sad. You may have heard somebody say that. That's as wrong-headed as it can be. To say that, to believe that, is to suggest that there's some insufficiency in God. There is some need in God. God needs nothing. Have we thought about that? He needs nothing. He is the independent, all-sufficient God. So to picture him as needy, oh, he was just so lonely, he had to make man, and that is nonsense, and it's not scriptural. So he didn't need to create anything to be fulfilled. He created everything, there it is, for his own glory. He just created because he wanted to, and it would bring him glory. God is distinct and separate from everything he created. There's a false view called pantheism that says God is everything and everything is God. It makes no distinction between the creation and the creator. There is a creator and there's his creation. And the Bible makes that very clear. Very, very clear. But these are just false notions that have crept in. And they're mentioned here and described later on in the notes. I just wanted to mention that now. He alone is eternal, that is, God is eternal, uncreated, self-existent, and self-sufficient. That's who he is. So this is a good distinction to make. You know, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, didn't we? And that God is spiritual and not physical. Remember that? That's fundamental truth. Well, what's the difference, somebody might ask, between God as spirit and the angels that we know are ministering spirits? They're called spirits. They can take on physical appearance, but their nature is spiritual. So what's the difference? Big difference, and here's the difference. God is uncreated spirit. But angels are created spirits. See that? They have been created by the Creator. There's only one Creator. And everything else is a creation that exists for His glory. He made everything out of nothing. Spoke it, and it was done. And then we've talked about how it was ordered by God. Our time is fleeting. Let me kind of show you the layout of this handout, and we might dip into a little part of it with the remaining time. You see our three verses at the top of page 38, our memory verses. There they are. And taken out of the King James. And in case you're wondering, if you want to memorize them in some other version, have at it. King James is what I grew up with and a lot of us did grow up with. But we're not frowning on any other good translation. Just make sure it's a good translation. And then if you use that translation, that's what you'll want to memorize, probably. Now, these additional notes, they're not out of the book that I'm writing because I didn't have a chapter on God as Creator. You say, well, why wouldn't you have a chapter on that? Well, I don't know. I may add a chapter, but what's in the book that I have written, and I really haven't, I don't think, stated this, that I'm not have written, but I am writing. It is about God's attributes, about His character qualities. And to be precise, God's creation is not part of who He is. It's one of His actions. It's one of His works, like redemption and creation. That's what God does. He reveals Himself and His attributes through His actions of both creation and redemption. But it's not really something that I was writing about, but I may have to sneak it in there some way. I've been thinking about it. So what I did here, I've got notes, as you can see, from our doctrinal statement, and there is reference to it. Let's see if we can find this. Paragraph 2 there. We teach that God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, orders and disposes all things according to His own purpose and grace. Here it is. He is the Creator of all things. And that's as simple a statement. And we want that to be in our doctrinal statement. That is absolutely fundamental truth. As the only absolute and omnipotent ruler in the universe, He is sovereign in creation, in providence, and redemption. That is to say, He's in control. He didn't ask for any advice from anybody, did He? Did He ask for permission to create? There was nobody to ask. True? He's the whole show, as we say. No. He didn't have to check with you, Doc, or me. We weren't even a thought at that time. Of course not. He's a sovereign God. In creation, in providence, and redemption. He does what He wants to do. His fatherhood involves both His designation within the Trinity and His relationship with mankind. As Creator, He is Father to all men, but He is spiritual Father only to believers. He has decreed for His own glory all things that come to pass. He continually upholds, directs, and governs all creatures and events. In His sovereignty, He is neither author nor approver of sin, nor does He abridge the accountability of moral, intelligent creatures. That is, He's given us the capacity to choose. And so He doesn't eliminate our capacity to choose, and yet He's in control of what happens. Great mystery, but nonetheless true. Now, there may be some other things here. Yeah, the last paragraph, this is about Jesus Christ. We teach that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, possesses all the divine excellencies, that is, attributes, and in these he is co-equal, consubstantial, and co-eternal with the Father. We teach that God the Father created according to his own will through his Son, Jesus Christ, by whom all things continue in existence and in operation. Now the rest of the notes, beginning on 39 through the end of the handout, are from sermons that I preached back in 2021. And so there is some repetition here, I'll forewarn you, because in preaching, unlike a book or something like that, if you're preaching through a series, you might review something at the beginning of the next message, what you covered before, and kind of hook up with that. So you'll find some of that going on here. On page 39, you see right in the middle of the page, let's read that paragraph and look at points A through F real quick. The first chapter of Genesis destroys all false teachings and philosophies of the world. These are some of the false views that our children and youth encounter in the classroom. Well, obviously, atheism is blown away. There's no argument there. That's the belief there is no God. Well, the Bible says there is, and that he created. Polytheism is many gods, but the Bible says there's only one, and he needed no help. There's no other God. There's no other creator. Pantheism, as I mentioned a while back here tonight, the Bible says that God's separate from all created things. Pantheism means that all is God and God is all. You can't separate the two. Evolution teaches that all things evolve from the simple to the complex over billions of years, but the Bible begs to differ because it says that God made everything day one, day two, day three, and every time the evening and the morning were the first day, 24-hour compartments of time, not eons of time, not millions of years of time that scientists want us to believe. And they say, well, that's really the way it happened. No, that's their theory, and it's foolishness. And we say that not because we're setting ourselves up as say, smarter than the scientists, but in a sense we are in that we believe what the Bible says. And when the Bible says something, that settles it. Doesn't it? Are you with me? Yeah, I thought you were. And then materialism teaches that matter is eternal, and that's really all that's important is matter, the material world. But the Bible says, no, that's not right. Nothing existed till he made it. And then fatalism is the world has no purpose. But it does have a purpose, and we've talked about that tonight. Our time is up. Let's look at the next headings here. I'll just mention the headings. What do we learn from creation, or excuse me, from Genesis about creation? What's recorded in Genesis? Well, you see at the bottom of 39 starts the list. I'm just going to mention the list. God is eternal. In the beginning, God. Number two, God is self-existent. And then number three, God is self-sufficient. We touched on that tonight. And then God created all things. The phrase created the heaven and earth, that is a way of stating everything that is, without going into all the specifics. And number five, over on page 41, God revealed the details of his creation. And then God created all things for his glory and pleasure. And then you have added to that list some other things in the notes throughout. There's four sermons that I preached back in 2021, I think it was. And these are the notes from those messages that hopefully will be of help to you, as they were to me. They're just the results of my study, and I thought I'd pass those on to you. And so we have been reminded tonight that God is our wonderful creator, our powerful creator, our all-knowing and wise Creator, our good Creator. Just think of the way He made it. We're seeing such beauty this time of year. It's a reminder of our Creator, a reflection of God's creativity and His love for beauty, and the fact that He gives us these eyes to see the beauty. And it's just so amazing. Doc, if we had another song to sing, which we don't have time for, we're going to sing our invitation song. But next time we sing this, I hope we sing it with more purpose, maybe, because we'll know if this is fresh upon our hearts. And that song is, All Creatures of Our God and King. All creatures. You familiar with that song? All creatures of our God and King. Let's bow. Father, we are one of those creatures, each one of us tonight. And so help us and all that is within us to glorify You. That is why You gave us life. You created us for Your own pleasure and for Your purpose. And remind us, Lord, when we forget that. Help us not to be self-serving or self-seeking, self-centered, or to only look out for our own ends and means. But Lord, to live as those who have been put here for Your purpose, to glorify and reflect You. And now that we're saved, Father, we can do that in a way that we could never do it before. Remind us daily that we are Yours because of Your creation of us, and then because we're Your new creation in Christ. And remind us of that constantly. And we owe it all to You. Thank You for these truths. Thank You for who You are and all You've done and will do for us, Your people. Bless now as we sing and close the service tonight. We pray in Christ's name.